Thank you for joining us at the First Baptist Church of Colerain, Massachusetts. Today, Pastor Jim is continuing his series in 2 Corinthians. It is our prayer that this message will encourage the believer and bring the unbeliever closer to a saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
All right, continue on. This is just as relevant today as it was when it was written. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. New chapter today, not going to read the whole thing, just 10 verses. Hopefully we'll finish the rest next week, Lord willing. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Now we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we are in this tent, we groan, are burdened, because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now it is God who has made us for this very purpose, and has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. We live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So we make it our goal to please Him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether it good or bad. May God give us understanding of His Word this morning. Amen. Father, we just need Your understanding of Your Word. And Your Word is spiritually discerned. So we ask You to fill us with Your Holy Spirit and to teach us through this message and encourage us and help us to love You more as a result of it. In Jesus' name, amen. Excuse me. Have you ever been in a mansion? Have you ever, I don't think anyone's lived in a mansion. Have you ever been in a mansion? Have you ever visited any mansions? There's some over there. Is it Rhode Island? We've visited those last year. It's amazing. I think they call them cottages, but they're really mansions. My son and his new wife were married at a mansion. What was it? J.P. Morgan's financial secretary used to own that property in Connecticut, and now he bequeathed it to the state, and now people can go visit. Absolutely gorgeous. When I went to England in May to visit my family, my best friend took me to see and visit a mansion. It was Winston Churchill's birthplace, where Winston Churchill was born. And he inherited that from his ancestor, the Duke of Marlborough, who won a battle against the French. So the Queen rewarded him and built Blenheim Palace. It's an absolute gorgeous mansion. And as I walked through it, I just wondered what it would be like to live in a place like this. But then I thought about the taxes and the bills. And this is why they allow people like you and I to go there and pay money to go visit, to pay for all the upkeep of this place. It's astronomical. Speaking of mansions, I have a mansion joke for you this morning. I had to put one in. And two people died, two men died, and they went to the pearly gates. Of course, you know this is a joke because that St. Peter's not waiting there to let people in, believe me. You either get in or you don't get in. But let's just say, for argument's sake, Peter's there at the pearly gates waiting for these two men that died. And he says, sorry, fellas. He says, I can't let you in yet. Your mansions are not ready. They're still working on them, but you'll get your mansion one day. He says, oh, great. So in the meantime, I'm going to have to send you back. But I'm giving you a wish. What would you like to be when I send you back? And that's the first one. He said, well, he said, I'd like to be an eagle. I'd like to be an eagle because I want to soar over the beautiful scenery and the landscape of God's creation. He says, okay, you got it. And he went, poof, and off he went. And he said to the second one, he said, well, what would you want to be when you go back? He says, me, he says, I want to be a stud. Peter said, what? He said, I want to be a stud. And not just a stud. He said, you know, like Brad Pitt or Jim Rennie. No. He said, not really. My wife said, no. And he said, I want to be a stud, but not just a stud. He says, I want to be a real cool stud when I get back. Because I was never that when I was on earth. So, and Peter says, are you sure? Is that what you want? He said, yep. I said, I want to be a cool stud. I said, okay, you got it. And a poof, and he went. A couple of months passed by. And Peter called for the angel. He said, I want you to go fetch those guys. The mansions are ready. He said, what guys? He said, well, the first one, you know. He said, where will I find him? He said, well, he's soaring over the Grand Canyon. There's an eagle. That's exactly what he wanted. He's soaring like an eagle. He's having a wonderful time. Okay, bring him back. He said, okay. He said, what about the other one? He said, oh, you mean the stud? The cool stud. He said, yeah. He said, where will I find him? He said, you'll find him. Oh, let me remember this. What is it? You'll find him on a snow tire in Minnesota. Okay. Think about that one. I'll give you a minute. A real cool stud. Anyway, that's the mansion joke. So be careful what you ask for, right? That's the motto of that story. Be careful what you ask for. There's a far better mansion that is built by hands that Jesus has promised to those who love him. He's gone to prepare a place for us, he said. And where he is, we shall be also. He's prepared a place for those that love him. When this old body dies, described here as a tent, leaves this world. We're living in a tent, this mortal body. Verse 1, for we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. This is a very positive, we know. We're going to heaven because of the Spirit of God who lives within us, confirms it. Verse 5, now the one who has fashioned us for this very purpose is God. He has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. We have the Spirit of God. That is the down payment. That is the deposit, guaranteeing an absolute certainty that we are going to heaven and live in our mansion that is being prepared to for us by the Lord. It's a very positive, we know. Question is, do you know? Do you know? Do you have the Spirit of God within you confirming that you are saved? You've trusted in Christ as your Savior? Do you know that when you leave this world, you'll be going to heaven? And if you don't know, that means you don't have the Spirit of God living in you, guaranteeing the fact that you are truly saved and you belong to Jesus Christ. But you can be certain, assuming you receive him as your Savior. Talks about tents here, referring to our mortal bodies. They're like tents. And you wouldn't want to live in a tent for very long, would you? No, because it fades, it tears, and it perishes, just like our earthly bodies. They tear, it fades, and it perishes. Compares our bodies as tents. One day we'll see the face of Jesus, who loved us, gave himself for us on the cross, to pay the price for our sins and purchase for us a mansion in heaven. Verse 4, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. It's talking about eternal life. We have received Jesus. When we receive Jesus, we have received eternal life. Amen. One day, these natural bodies are going to be raised up, a spiritual body, just like Jesus' body was raised up, a spiritual body. When he was resurrected, he had a resurrected body. One day, ours, we will receive our resurrected body as well. He said, in the meantime, Paul said, that we groan. It doesn't talk about griping. Some people, I know we do that sometimes. It says, we groan, verse 2. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling. In the meantime, we live in this mortal body that's subject to pain and suffering. Before we die, before we receive a resurrected body, we have to live in this tent. And the groaning he's talking about here, it's not so much a physical groaning as much as a spiritual ache and the desire to live with the Lord in heaven. It's not just a physical groaning. It's a spiritual ache that is tired of living in this body that is subject to sin, that brought with it from our birth pain and suffering. And everything else included that we go through in this world. But it's only temporary. This mortal body is fading and it's going to be destroyed. It's going to perish. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. We're all suffering the consequences of sin. Every one of us, one form or another. And life is hard. Amen? Life is hard. Some people, it's harder for some people than others, but we don't get out without being scathed, without being torn, without suffering and pain. Life doesn't always turn out like a Hallmark movie, does it? Denise likes to watch those Hallmark movies, and there's always a happy ending. Remember the TV shows that we still watch? I like to see the old black and white westerns. And there's always a happy ending. No matter what happened, you know, there's always like 2 minutes of a happy ending. They're all laughing. You know, even the horses do it. Even the horses are laughing, you know, with the teeth. No, life doesn't always work out like a Hallmark movie, does it? Life is hard. Life can be painful. And for one reason or another. But there's an old Mexican saying, and Teresa was here, she'd probably speak it in Spanish. I don't speak Spanish. There's the Mexican saying, it says, what cannot be cured must be endured. Right? So we have a sin problem. It's incurable in this world. It leads to death. And in the meantime, we endure, don't we? We endure it in the meantime. But one day, we're going to be out of pain. We're going to be out of suffering. We're going to see the Lord, and we've got a mansion waiting for us when we get there. So this groaning that Paul is talking about here, it's a yearning to be the way God intended mankind to be before sin came into this world and messed things up, before man fell in the garden. He fell from grace in the Garden of Eden. That's where all the problems began and where all the suffering came from. And we're all suffering the consequences of that rebellion in the garden. We're all related. They are our original ancestors. That's what the Bible says, and I believe it. Amen? We don't come from apes. That's ridiculous. It takes more faith to believe that. It's stupid. They think we're dumb, you know. Anyway, but thank God for Jesus. Amen? He's made a way for us to be reunited with a holy God by his sacrifice on the cross. And one of these days, he's going to call us home out of this world where we'll stand before him clothed in his righteousness that he gives to us once we receive him. We're clothed in God's righteousness because God doesn't see our sin anymore. Verse 10, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. The judgment seat of Christ is for believers. We're all going to stand before the Lord, give an account of what we've done since we've been saved, whether good or bad. We won't have to answer for our sins. Jesus took care of that on the cross. Amen. We're going to be rewarded for our faithfulness to Jesus since we've been saved. And we'll gain rewards for being faithful, and we'll lose rewards if we've not been faithful. But it doesn't affect our salvation in any way. It doesn't affect our eternal destination. Unlike those that will stand before the great white throne judgment, where they have to give an account for their sins, because they've never been forgiven. They're already condemned. This is talking about the judgment seat of Christ. And in fact, next week it says in verse 11, since now, and I don't particularly prefer this version. This version was here when I arrived, okay? I can kind of prefer the New King James version, but this one will do for now. And it says in verse 11, since then we know what is to fear the Lord, we try to persuade men. Well, the author says, since knowing the terror of the Lord, that's a little different. Knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. And it's would be a terrible thing, and will be a terrible thing, to be an unbeliever, to stand at the great white throne judgment. And we need to praise God and thank the Lord. We won't have to stand there because we've received Jesus and we have been forgiven our sins. Jesus took our sins on the cross, the judgment seat of Christ, where we won't have to give an account for our sins. We're going to be rewarded or lose reward depending on how faithful we have been since we've been saved. And he's going to judge our motives for the things that we've done, even in the name of the Lord. Okay? So we can praise the Lord. We won't have to stand at the great white throne judgment. For them, it's too late because they're already condemned. Everyone who's never been saved, and we're in that condition before we came to Jesus, we were under condemnation. Jesus said it himself. Let's zoom over there. We've got a few minutes, don't we? Let's zoom over there. Just don't take my word for it. You're familiar with John 3:16, probably the most quoted Bible verse ever quoted. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. There you go. Amen? You're not condemned. You're not condemned. Acts chapter 8, verse 1 says, therefore, being in Christ, we are no longer condemned. All right. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. That's the good news. Here's the bad news. But whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. So we won't have to stand, thank God, at the great white throne judgment. So we should be very, very thankful for that. Like I said last week, everybody has an eternal soul, even though everybody's mortal body will die. The soul is immortal. Even though the natural body dies, and those that have not accepted God's righteousness through receiving his Son Jesus, they reject him, God will reject them because, and they will die in their sins because they've never been forgiven. Now they'll stand before the great white throne judgment and have to answer for those sins, but then it's too late. They'll have to answer for those sins that they've committed in this lifetime. In Acts 24:15, it says, there shall be a resurrection of the dead. Now, what's he talking about, the dead? Spiritual dead. There shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. So those that have received Jesus have been justified by believing faith in him, just as if we had never sinned. We're justified by faith in Jesus. Amen? The unjust are the unrighteous. They've never been justified by faith because they haven't put their faith in the right object of their faith, which is Jesus Christ, who died for them on the cross. So there will be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and of the unjust. The saved and the unsaved. All right. Now, one of these days, we're going to move out of this old tent and we're going to move into our mansion when we'll meet the Lord in glory. Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. I wonder what my mansion's going to look like. I wonder what your mansion's going to look like. We won't have to worry about mowing the grass anymore. Or dust, there's going to be no dust in heaven. It's going to be great. Never going to get tired, never going to get weary, never going to aches and pains. All right, it's going to be great. We are confident, Paul said in verse 6. Therefore, we are always confident and know. Do you know? Know, as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. We're away from the Lord now. We've been given a body that's suited to this environment called earth. But it's only temporal. It's only temporal. But when we get to heaven, we're going to be clothed in a heavenly body that's suited for heaven. It's going to be a different body. All right? The natural cannot obtain the spiritual. But we have the spiritual living in us, the Holy Spirit. So let's be honest. While we're living in this tent, we kind of feel at home. In it, don't we? We feel at home in this tent because that's all we've ever known. We don't have a heavenly body. However, once we're in this body, we're still absent from the Lord. We're separated from our heavenly Father. But in the meantime, what are we supposed to do? We do what the Word of God tells us to do. Or we should. It says in verse 7, we live by faith and not by sight. In other words, don't rely on self, but rely totally upon God each and every day. What else are we supposed to do? Verse 9. And another, I like the other version again. I like the New King James or the Authorized. It says in this version, the NIV, it says, we make it our goal to please him. And the Authorized says, we make it our aim. We make it our, it's the same thing. I like the original wording. We make it our aim, our goal to please him. We make it our aim to please him, whether we are at home in this body or away from it. Again, he says, walk by faith. Walk by faith every single day. And he'll give us the power to do that. If we lean on him and trust him day by day, having him as the focus, the object of our faith every single day. How do we walk by faith and not by sight? We take God at his word and by his grace, obey it one day at a time until he takes us home. Amen? One day at a time. Let me close with 1 Corinthians 15, 51 through 53. And he says, behold, that means modern American vernacular, listen up, pay attention, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep or die, but we shall be changed. For this corruptible body must put on incorruption, and this mortal body must put on immortality. Immortality. How long is immortal? Forever and ever and ever. Whilst we live in these tents, it's only temporary. We don't want to live in a tent forever. We don't have to. Tents wear out, they fade, they perish, just like our mortal bodies will. But one day, we're going to get a body that will last forever and ever and ever and ever, just like Jesus' resurrected body. Amen? Amen. Something to look forward to, isn't it? Okay, let's close in prayer. Father, again, we thank you so much for everyone that's come out. We really appreciate each and every one. And we know that it's a sacrifice for some. But they still, because they love you and they love their fellow believers, and they're willing to learn and grow in their faith. And I just hope and pray that each one of us will be encouraged to remember that this world is only a temporary thing. We're not going to be here for very long in the light of eternity. It's just a drop in the bucket. So help us by your grace for us to live by faith and trust you each and every day and to praise you for your sacrifice, how much it cost you, what it cost you on that cross to bring us to God. And there may be somebody listening to this message, wherever you may be, you don't know for sure that when you leave this world, which you will, that you'll go to heaven. You don't know there's going to be a mansion waiting for you because you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior. Well, you can simply, humbly ask God to forgive you, to honestly say it was because of your sins that Jesus had to die and suffer and shed his blood for you, to take away your sins on the cross. And he did that because he loves you. And believe that he did that by faith, even though we don't see it with our natural eyes. That's what faith is. It's seeing by faith what we cannot see with the natural, but believing in our hearts that you died, you were buried, but you rose again from the dead. And one day you can have a resurrected body just like Jesus, and you won't have to stand and face judgment anymore if you believe in him and trust him by faith. I pray and hope that you will do that. We thank you, Lord, for this service and the things that we've heard. And we give you the praise for all that you've done and will do and are doing in our lives. Amen. Amen.
Thank you again for tuning in. If you enjoyed this message, we'd love if you would join us at the First Baptist Church in Coleraine for Sunday morning worship at 11 a.m. We are located at 79 Foundry Village Road in Coleraine, Massachusetts. Hope to see you soon. God bless.